ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Thank you. Indian eat paan. Paan, if you chew, it becomes red in color. He spits that on the stone, so it becomes like a tilak on the stone. He puts some garland, few rupees in front. And then suddenly, students in front of the university where he keeps it, they start coming and they start paying obeisances. And this was the point he was raising. If just you take this statement that based on our liking, we start worshipping and expect that Lord will just accept that form as Archavidrana. So this was a clear argument shown. But the fact is, you know, few things can happen. One is those who are envious from different religions, those who are atheists, can misuse this particular emotion or a feeling of a devotee which is expressed here, and they can basically counter the whole Vedic system. Their arguments will counter the whole Vedic system of deity worship. Other is those innocent people who doesn't understand the scriptural basis behind it, the proper reasons behind it, will also be misguided, and they will be pulled in any place of worship. You see in India, just on the road, someone just puts one sheet, puts some flowers, marks it around with some partition, throws some money, and in this due course, that becomes a place of worship. One time this happened, and then later one person tried to begin and find out what exactly happened to this place. Why this place is covered with sheep and why flowers are thrown. So they found out that there was one person, his goat died. So he buried the goat and discovered it, and he offered some flowers to the dead goat. That became a place of worship. And traffic is stopped. Thousands and thousands of rupees are per day donated to that place, thinking it's a place of worship. So why that happens is a matter of concern. So now one very common argument which we hear from devotees, which is sort of nice to share, because if we don't understand the basis behind deity worship or different forms of the Lord, then we fall in these two categories. Either we are sentimentalists, or if we are breached by other side, we will become atheists or envious by following another religion. So it's very important to understand this point. How the Supreme Lord, out of His kindness, can reveal Himself in different forms, but you cannot concoct that form. The point is, we cannot concoct that form. Here, our authority, our basis are scriptures. Our authority, our basis are the great devotees. So if that happens, people lose faith. Because suppose you put a stone, you just design a car or a stone, and then naturally people will start to go there, worship, and it becomes a really popular place. And then naturally the humans will attach. You play that game, Chinese whisper. You say something, by after 10 minutes you get some other message completely different which you didn't even think of. So that's how rumors around the place will also spread. And if one person starts saying, yeah, I came, I prayed there, and my desire was fulfilled, that's it. You see, spreading like wildfire. So, this is exactly like you visit the house, and in front of the house, five people are standing, and they say there is a ghost inside. So the sixth person comes, even if the curtain moves, he sees is the action of the ghost. Because the curtain is moving, and five people have already told that. There are social experiments now, so there's a vision of social conformity. How in the lift, in the elevator, they purposefully did this experiment. How people don't use their intelligence many times. This is like common layman going to work. not a religious ceremony, but generally there are, if we enter elevator and everyone usually faces towards the gate of the lift. But in this experiment, what they did is this person enters the elevator and everyone is facing towards the back. Everybody in the lift is full, 7-8 people in the everybody is facing towards the back. Now this person who is the odd one out, who is facing towards the gate, which is a normal way of standing, by the time lift reaches the top, they showed in most of the experiment, people also turn around and face the back, which is not the common action they do on a daily basis. But everything is happening around them, so just follow the trend, follow the flow. In a clinic, that was one of the classic experiments. In a clinic, they did this experiment, 10 people are sitting, and then which are already planned to sit there, they know the game. There's one new person, there's one new girl comes, and the deal is after every 30 seconds, bell will ring, and everyone will stand and sit. In a clinic, you don't see it ordinarily happening. You go to a clinic, people are waiting, and every 30 seconds they stand, or 1 minute, and they sit again. So now this new girl enters, and see, everyone is doing it. So in few minutes, she also starts to do this. And then they will systematically, they have put 10 people there. They start taking their people one by one out. They have planted people. And new people are coming, and they are following the trend. And in few minutes, what happens? Everybody sitting there, none of them are planned audience, none of them are trained audience, and everyone gets up after 1 minute of bell ring, and no one knows why. And no one, just they follow the trend that is around. So the same mentality we bring when we come to spiritual practices. And even if we follow the bona fide process, the mentality remains the same. The capacity to question or to inquire or to know the philosophical truths in depth behind the particular action is not ours. There are some types of devotees. They enter, they have faith in such and such place, they pay obeisances this way, they just start paying obeisances on the sideways. Usually in temple if you go, obeisances are paid straight. But few devotees will question, why this way? Why this way? Why Shikha? Why Tila? Why one question? And these are not challenging questions, they just want to satisfy their intellect so that they know what they are doing. So similarly, coming to this particular point where any form I like, any form I imagine, and I start worshipping, and there are so many stories attached to this that people have worshipped stone and they have really got the result, the Lord reciprocated, or some may be true also, because what is the restriction for the Lord to appear in any stone? How can you stop him based on the devotion of the devotee? But actually, if the devotee has developed that devotion, he must be having some basis, and those basis which we will discuss now. In the Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, verse 4, I'll just read some part of that purport. It's a very interesting point over next year. He says, in Brahma Samhita also it is said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with the tinge of devotional service. So now Prabhupada is saying, so we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen Him with perfect eyes smeared with devotional service. So our information about the transcendental form of the Lord is taken by whom? By which person? Who has seen the Lord with his perfect eyes smeared with pure devotion. That's how we take this information. Okay, which form to worship. In the material world also, Prabhupada continues, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process of experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matter transcendental. So only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the absolute truth and his different form. He is formless to the neophytes, but he is in transcendental form to the expert servitor. So this gives us a serious relief that how do we know that this particular form of Krishna is actually form of Krishna. In one occasion, I was with one of the devotees, a senior devotee, few years back, and someone showed a poster of Krishna, and he outright rejected that poster. Why? Because he said, according to scriptures, Krishna has to be three bending form. And on his ankle, Krishna, his body is bent in three places. On his ankle, on his waist, and on his neck. And that's why he stands like plain fruit. So he says, no, this is not a bona fide picture of Krishna. If he is standing in plain fruit, he has to be bent from three places. So, now, what was his reference? He may not be, or maybe having this perfect vision of eyes near the pure devotional service, but his reference was scriptures. His reference was that authority which has given results to devotees like great Acharya Srila Prabhupada, and they confirm that particular form. You know, there is a very famous pastime of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, where in one place Rupa Goswami compares the hairs of Srimati Radharani with snake, and Sanatana Goswami didn't like it. That why is he comparing Radharani's hair with snake? But Rupa Goswami had that vision. Why? Eyes are smeared in pure devotional service. So when Sanatana Goswami one time in his meditation saw Srimati Radharani from distance, and he got worried that Radharani has snake behind her. And then when he went closer, he saw, oh no, this is her hair. And he didn't feel bad. That, oh my God, I thought that this is a very wild imagination of my brother Rupa. But that was his vision. This transcendental pure vision that he actually saw Srimati Radharani, and he also felt the same, that her hair retained a life form of a snake. And that was his comparison. So this can happen with great acharyas, great devotees. But for us, our hope, for our solace is that we are safe in the guidance of those great devotees who have pure devotion, sir, pure devotion and love for the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, who has very kindly given us all the deep devotion and the forms of the Lord to worship, he hasn't given us a process where individually we just choose and select. Choose and select whichever form you like, whichever way you want Krishna to be. You know, sometimes I saw my mother showed me some photos one day, and she was showing that they have all the Gopalji deities, Ladu Gopalji deities, and they are doing swimming pool party for their Gopalji deities. So everyone has come together, brought their Gopalji deities, and many of them are wearing goggles. They're wearing their goggles, and they are all sitting in the pool. And it's a pool party. So I asked, how come this pool party is happening? So she said, kids also they do pool party. Adults also go for pool party. Then why not Gopalji? Why not Gopalji goes for a pool party? Gopalji is driving in the car. There is a small car. He is sitting in the car. And then in one of the temple, on Christmas day, they decorated Radha Krishna in Santa Claus dress. And immediately, when photos started getting published, immediately senior Vaishnavas from Vrindavan started questioning and complaining, that why this concoction? Where have you heard and seen that Krishna is dressed like Santa Claus? You know, we may go for a pool party, but why Gopalji has to sit with goggles in a pool party? This is not actually the expression of pure devotion. This is something else. I don't know what it is, how to define it, but then people can do, and immediately they had to, on the same day, they had to remove their dress when the issue became very well known amongst authorities. They had to remove that Santa Claus dress. You know, I was Shivratri day, I was in Vrindavan once, and I had opportunity to meet a very great Vaishnava. And he, one day before Shivratri, and he instructed me, he suggested, oh, tomorrow Shivratri, if you get a chance, go to Gopeshwar Mahadev temple in Vrindavan. Gopeshwar, right? In Vrindavan?
Yes.
Shivji temple, Gopeshwar Mahadev Mandir. Now, on Shivratri, that temple is so flooded, it is unimaginable how you will go there and take darshan. But by blessing of Lord Shiva, it can be possible. It's that busy that day. So, some of my father pushed through and he went. Got a broken glass in his feet because it was serious business there. It's heavy duty crowd. But I didn't go. So we were going and we were visiting Radha Shamsunda temple and we visited Radha Shamsunda temple. And in the Radha Shamsunda temple, they had dressed Radha Shamsunda as Lord Shiva. Huh? And it was amazing dress, very beautiful. And I was happy about this, I got darshan of Lord Shiva. So such because Maharaj told me I could not go, so that when such change is done, that is based on the authority of acharyas. And there are pastimes also Krishna doing that. But concocting something else just because it may make your temple popular was not very much entertained by the senior Vaishnavas. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Madhya Lila, 25th chapter, where a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Prakashananda Saraswati is happening, where Prakashananda Saraswati falls at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, begs forgiveness and asks him some philosophical truths based on Vedanta and not to be combined. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him a very, very popular verse which we almost have heard before. He says, Tarko pratishta sutayo vivinna nasa visiryasya matam na minnam dharmasya tattvam mehitam guhayam mahajanoyena gata sapanta. He says, dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. So dry arguments will not give you conclusion. No? Great personalities, all different munis, cannot give us the conclusion because they all differ in their opinion. By studying the Vedas, just by studying the Vedas, which are so much variegated, one cannot come to the right path, then what is the solution? The solid truth of religious principle is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized person. So the solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of a pure Vaishnava, pure devotee of the Lord. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajanas advocate. And please hear the language used. One should accept whatever progressive path. Whatever path they are given, these great Mahajanas, one should accept that path. So now that can be worship of any form of the Lord, which is whether it's in like the purport says Lord Ram, Shankarshan, Baldev, Pasudev, whichever form, Narasimhadev, it will give result. In Bhagavad Gita, one of the purports, important chapter of the Shabdopad says this point, that one can worship any form of the Supreme Lord. It's fine. They can get the supreme perfection. Now, Srila Prabhupada, to avoid many such confusions within his society, did not establish many different forms of deity worship, including demigods also, because he didn't want the devotees to get confused from the main goal, main focus of serving Krishna. But we see in many small temples there are Narasimha Dev deities, there are Lord Ram deities are there. Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in most of the temples, Jagannath is in most of the temples because that's Krishna himself. But many other forms are established by the Acharya of Srila Prabhupada. There are some temples where Varaha Dev deities are there also. Not in this one but other Gaudiya temples. So this one also might be there, not in my knowledge. So this particular verse, which is just following the authority of great Vaishnava Mahajana, this is coming from Mahabharata and it's spoken by none other than Yudhishthira Maharaj himself, this particular verse. If we can understand this particular verse, then today's verse, which is the Supreme Personality Godhead Hari, out of his transcendental affection for his devotees, become visible to his devotees, satisfying his devotees' desire, makes becomes more realistic. Then this is how we can also reach to this stage. Now, whereas we see Bharat Maharaj has taken instructions from none other than Lord Vishnu, his father, and by practicing that, he has attained his perfection. There was a devotee in Russia, Ananta Pankaj Prabhu. It's a very known story. He was a simple devotee. He would just do daily temple duties. He would go out for books. Very humble devotee in the background, just serving. And never known, not a big devotee, known as a big preacher or whatever. So he developed some cancer, and very painful, serious cancer he developed. And to a degree that devotees even around him were surprised, how come such a pain he is going through? Just skin and bone, it's like, you know, eyes are like a cup, where there is something, a socket in. Just visible and very painful condition, extreme pain. And he will always chant Krishna's name. More he started chanting when he realized that he has cancer and he's going through this serious tough times. And his one hand would always be in the feedback. And towards the end, that day was his last day, devotees realized a few minutes later, he became very bright-faced and very active, very happy, big smile on his face. And he did like this to the devotees. And he even winked. And he said, this process works. Srila Prabhupada has not cheated us. This process works. And in few seconds, leaves the body. So, how much scriptures can you read? How much temple you can come to? How much this service, that service you do? And you see this one day only last 5 minutes. And Krishna revealing himself to so many devotees around him through this one devotee, it just the flow of faith one gets is, or the change of heart one gets just by being around such devotees is much higher, but it's multiple times more than doing so many other things. So, and that's why it's very important to very closely hold on to the association of devotees. Because when we live in association of devotees, it's very easy to take it for granted. Because where will it go? It's just, it's around me, you know. But if it goes away, and this 2020 actually showed it can go away, association was taken away. I was shocked. Yesterday I was in the courtyard and one of this boy came. I never used to speak to him much, like other devotees were talking, but I have spoken to him at least 7 or 8 times. But in a group. And suddenly he came, he hugged and he started crying. I thought something happened in family, something actually happened. It's just in the courtyard there yesterday. And I asked him, why are you crying? He said, no, just seeing you after so many months, I just became emotional. And what will happen to him when he will speak to those devotees who are actually helping him? You know? So we're really missing this association. Devotees are missing this association. And he said, Prabhu, adhyatmik jeevan khatam ho gaya, spiritual life is finished, do something. So, like that, you know. So, but we are slowly associating with devotees and it's very easy to take it for granted. But if it's not taken for granted, these results will come. I don't know if you all have, or some of you have read a book called Salted Bread. It's an amazing book. If you feel low in your spiritual life, please read that book. It's like a fire behind you. It's like a full blow fire behind you once you read that book. So in this book, there is a story of two devotees. Sarvam Prabhu and Satyasuta Prabhu. It's again from Russia. During the communist regime, serious torture devotees are going through. And this book is surrounding around these two devotees. Two friends. Sarvam Prabhu is the writer, basically. His son wrote, but Sarvam Prabhu decided to his son. So now this Satyasuta Prabhu and Sarvam Prabhu, they are in torture camp. What all they go through is just unimaginable. Just they were asked by police that you sign a paper that you have been cheated and misguided to be a Hare Krishna devotee. Just write it on this paper and we'll free you. He said, we'll not write. Then this policeman says, you see that, you see this heavy metal door? If you don't write and sign on this paper that you have been forcefully and made a devotee and it's all over. It's a cheating business happening and it's fake and there's a scam or whatever. I'll put your hands between the door and I'll just close the door. And this is like in police station, heavy metal door, it's not like this door. Two, three kicks, it may move around, they break also. So he said, okay, good. So they take his both hands and they put in the door and they smash the door once, twice. By the time they did the third time, he fainted out of pain and fingers are bleeding and crushed practically. And he faints, and next day he's taken from this police station to main jail. So the policeman tells him, okay, any desire you have before going to the main jail? The hands are crushed, he's in pain. He said, yes, I want mridanga. He said, for what? He said, I want to go out from here to keep them. So they bring him mridanga with all his hands crushed in the gate. He doesn't keep them, mridanga playing. He goes, you know, for how many years he was practicing Bhakti? Any idea? Anybody guess? For how many years he was practicing devotee when this happened to him? 6 months. If that was the state, then I'm honestly, in front of the deity that I'm just live, and I was actually reading that part, I said, if someone slaps me, I'll sign in it. What was the people hand crush and all that? If you just slap me, I'll sign in it. Okay, they're going to help them. Don't beat me. But that was their fate in 6 months, these devotees. And then, taken to the jail, then they're sent to torture camps. And those torture camps are what camp? In cold winter, without sleeping, with these big needles, you have to sew. And why it is a torture camp? Because many will sleep while doing, and the needles will go through your hand. And that's how they want to torture you. That is, and this is one type of punishment. And there are different types of punishment. Go out in the freezing cold of Russia and you have to work. So they were praying to Krishna, don't send us outside, let us be inside. And Krishna fulfilled the desire. They got punishment to be inside because it's less cold. So one devotee is such as the Prabhu. His body could not tolerate all these pains. Sarvam Prabhu, the writer of the book, he was tortured in a sense that, I'll come to the reason why I'm telling about the torture. One, there was a policeman, he was a boxer, professional boxer before, and he one day came and he just randomly told him, you come out. Sarvam, he told Sarvam Prabhu, you come out. And he called him out and he started beating. Just like beating. And a boxer, professional boxer, huge guy. He turned him around, kicked on his back broke, basically spine fully injured. Till now, this is in the 80s, till now he has back problem because of that. Punched with eyes permanently gone. Till now he can't see from an eye. And after boxing, other jail keepers also were pretty, you know, by his beating. And he said that my wife has told me, if every day I don't beat a Hare Krishna devotee, she will not sleep in the bed with me. So I have to do this to be with my wife. This is what he did. In weeks time, they get this news that this particular policeman is traveling in car with his wife and child. And he goes off cliff and he enters the bush, hits the car, enters this wild bushy region. And so many wooden spikes enter their body, the whole family, that even police, no one could take the body out of any of them. They had to burn the car along with the body there itself. So when the jailkeepers heard this, that this is what happened to this policeman and his family, because they were beating, none of them touched the devotees after that. Krishna couldn't tolerate it. So now the Sajjata Prabhu, after doing all this, all torture, he could not handle it. There were tuberculosis, his body was collapsed, he just couldn't handle it. So they had separated these two friends. So none of them know exactly what is happening to each other. One is in another part of the jail, one friend is in this part of the jail. So now when they were told in 6 months you will be released, and they are happy that they will meet again. But this Sachinda Prabhu, he developed tuberculosis, he bought his body, collapsed, they couldn't handle, food was filthy. The name of the book is Salted Bread, because they, you know, you take a white bread, green fungus comes, it becomes fully green, then in few days it becomes black. So when it becomes black, that was served to them to eat. And they would dip in salted water just to make it so that the bacteria die. No, that's the name, Salted Bread, like that. That's how the book name comes. So that's what their diet was every day. So now this Prabhu is he's basically half dead on his bed. And following, still in the jail, following all the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, they are in the jail because they were preaching Krishna consciousness and they were caught distributing books. Last day, which no one knows, is another jail inmate. Another jail inmate must be another rowdy person who must have done some crime. He later meets his friend Sarvam Prabhu and tells this story that on last day, suddenly the Sachidata, who was completely from last 15 days not moving from the bed, he got up with full excitement, bright face. He took the bed sheet, he wore the bed sheet as a dhoti, he took the newspaper, tore the newspaper and made a garland with that newspaper. They made the garland from the newspaper, and then he wore that garland. He took toothpaste and put tilak, all the tilaks on his body. And then, in lotus pose, he sat chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He said, I was shocked, what is happening to this person? Is he gone mad? Something odd is happening. And he became brighter, 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 and he left his body. So this person was not moved from 15 days from the bed. This is the last moment he, this is how he behaved. Now when you read this, or you hear about this devotee, his journey, his last journey, how Krishna did reciprocate, what he did in his whole life, he just followed Srila Prabhupada's instructions. He didn't do anything huge, great. He just tried to speak Krishna, that is very great, actually, very great, it's not easy. He just tried to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And the result was, Krishna appeared to him. And see how he left. And he left his body like that, fully beaming, shining. This person was eating, they were 3 years in jail. It's not ordinary time. And bedridden completely, gets all the strength, puts filler, makes garlands, bed sheet, becomes dhoti, and leaves the body. So in that self same body, the way he left, the way it was described, Sarvam Prabhu made a deity of his friend. And he has it as a form now, and they worship him every day after Prabhupada, because he perfected and went back home, back to God. So then such events we hear and see by just following the great Vaishnavas, great Mahajans, and we have Srila Prabhupada and his followers who are strictly following him as our great Mahajans. That's a serious ray of hope for us. That for us to see the Supreme Lord and develop devotion for him, and for the Lord to become visible in front of us, we have a very genuine, serious, and simple process to follow. So, and then under their instruction, based on our liking, which is not our immature liking, oh, I like this. You like this candy? I like orange flavor. You like mango? Oh, I like Narasimha Dev. I like Rama. There's some, we can't choose like that, but based on what our natural relationship with the Supreme Lord is, our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, one can develop devotion. And the Lord will reciprocate in that form. It's not that we concoct a form completely out of nowhere and we oblige the Supreme Lord to appear. He can if he wants to, but how will that, but that shows that if we are concocting, that we haven't understood the basic traits of pure devotional service at first place. So that's what I thought I'll discuss from this verse. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
So that Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. In the foreword it says that the Lord is visible to the devotee according to the devotee's desire. So that would be the Ishwara Krishna Devata of the devotee. So can we say that like the Paramatma is described as one of the previous verses, four arms and Lord Vishnu, like that? That also is the form that the devotee is at?
Yeah, he can do that if he likes that form, if the devotee is attracted to that particular form of the Lord.
Does Paramatma take the form of Ishwadevata of the devotee?
Yes, that's how Paramatma reciprocates. Basically, a yogi, for example, a yogi, in his mind, he, based on what he has learned through scriptures and his guru, in his mind, he constructs a deity of the Lord. And then he meditates on that form of the Lord as Paramatma. And that same form only Paramatma reciprocates and shows and gives him darshan if the yogi perfects. So now that can vary from yogi to yogi, but the Paramatma is capable of revealing that particular form, which may vary from yogi to yogi, and reveals himself in that particular form. And the same happens for a devotee also, who is a Bhagavan realized, not just Paramatma realized devotee. Because the Lord's form of innumerable, so many forms, like Vishwadev. He wanted to see Krishna, but he wanted to see Krishna in Shivalil Rasa. He wanted to see Krishna as a warrior. So Krishna gave that darshan. Krishna can do. Now, Arjuna is Parthasarthi. His relationship with Krishna is in that mode. And devotees in Vrindavan want to see Shantu in the form of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to see Shantu in the form of Krishna. So Krishna needs that form. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna, but then devotees of Vrindavan, they want to see Krishna's fruit plain form, for example. And Bhishma, they wanted to see Krishna's form in that rasa. So Krishna picked up the wheel and ran to Bhishma Dev, and that was it. Bhishma said, my life is perfect. Now I saw your form. Thank you so much. This is what I wanted to see. And Krishna fulfilled his desire. So the Lord can do that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his form of Lord Ram to Murari Gupta. Because Murari Gupta, who was Hanuman in Lord Ram's pastime, wanted to see the Lord as Lord Ram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day played with him and instructed him, oh, you should worship Krishna. Why are you worshipping Ram? And Murari Gupta is the ardent devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he tried his best to take his meditation away from Lord Ram to Lord Krishna. And he could not do that. He could not do, he tried so much. So he decided, because I cannot do that, I'll suicide. I'll commit suicide, I'll kill myself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Paramatma in everyone's heart, he understood that this is what Murari Gupta is thinking. So, and he was hiding the knife under his bed, his pillow or something. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and told him, you cannot do this, your body belongs to me. I was just testing you. You are a great devotee of Lord Ram. And you were Hanuman in your previous life. So even if you want to, you cannot meditate on Krishna. You will be, you are attachment will always be to Lord Ram. And he revealed the form of Lord Ram to Murari Gupta. But in our immature state, you know how we decide? I come from that region of India where Lord Ram is worshipped more. So maybe I like Lord Ram, maybe. Or I come. This is how we decide. This is how we judge. I am from southern part of India, so Vishnu is worshipped more. So how can I develop devotion for Krishna? This is the people who told me, that's why I am repeating this statement. I am from Vrindavan only. I am from northern parts. We worship Krishna, not Vishnu. One devotee actually literally told me, not Krishna. That actually shows they haven't understood it. The same person. And you are saying, I'm not interested. We see Srila Prabhupada, he has established Lord Ram's temple also. He established Krishna Pralambandra and Ram only. So these great devotees, they know it's the same Supreme Lord. It's just mood is different. But in our maturity, we can say and do many things. So yes, Krishna can, Paramatma can be in many forms.
And then people who are not devotees, that they will have Lord Shiva Krishna.
Yeah, but if they access, if they can access Sri Lakshmi Krishna Parmanta, they are devotees. Because a yogi is also a devotee. If he can reach up to the platform of having darshan of the Supreme Lord as Paramatma within, he has to perform yoga. Yoga means can or may not be bhakti yoga, can or may be ashtanga yoga, but that includes it has to have aspect of bhakti, otherwise he cannot see the Supreme Lord. When an impersonalist cannot attain impersonal liberation without traces of bhakti, then how will a yogi see the Paramatma without traces of bhakti? Bhakti may not be their predominant yoga system they follow, but bhakti has to be part of their yoga system. Yes, sir.
How do you explain that all those new devotees, when Krishna is suffering in Russia, where did all those devotees get their strength from?
What I understand, the question is how do you explain how the new devotees who are in Russia getting suffering, where do they get their strength from? What I understood, especially by reading that and hearing so many pastimes about their faith is, or about their strength, is they were very clear that somehow by the mercy of God they have come in contact with the pure devotee. And they were already God seeking people, they were already searching for God. Like suppose taking example of these two devotees, they would just go to an abundant church even before meeting a devotee. And they would clean that church with all the God's rule or whatever mess they have was created in the church, thinking what? This is God's place. Now, how many of us would have done that or have done that? They would just go and clean the church. So their previous life devotion and attachment to God was also carrying. And then when they meet a pure devotee, it's like a just very dry glass coming in contact with fire, and immediately a blast happens. To a degree that while they were secretly printing Bhagavad Gita in Russia in those communist times, they Sachidananda Prabhu. You know, when you make Bhagavad Gita, you have to cut it, and there are paper leftovers. And devotees are finding that there are no leftovers. Where are the cut papers remaining? Where are they? And one day they found that Sachidananda would mix in hot water and eat it. I said, what are you doing? He said, no, this is from Bhagavad Gita, you can't throw this. Where is Rahu? We throw prasadam, offer to Krishna on the deity plate. We throw that. Why? Not tasty. I didn't like it. It's very heavy. Unhealthy for me. This, that, so many things. You eating the main pages of Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because this is Krishna's word. How can you throw that page from which Krishna's words are there in Bhagavad Gita? So then they go on and it's a different level of the level of their faith. And that's what happened. Srila Prabhupada's mercy was very tightly hold on to. His instructions were very tightly hold on to. And their faith, which must be carried from previous lives, otherwise you can't just act like that. It's not easy. Immediately after meeting a devotee, within 6 months, if someone shows such a result, either you are mental or you are very great devotee. You can't just artificially act as a devotee like that. So their strength and their faith is coming on, I would say, from two places. One is the happiness they experience after becoming devotee and practicing the process in a very proper way as given by the devotees. And the second was the must be carrying forward their bhakti from previous stage, according to my understanding. For any such devotee, I would say. For any such devotee. Like you said, we hear the pastor of Vishnu Maharaj. So much preaching he did. And one day he asked Srila Prabhupada that everyone says, I give your mercy the most. Why you give, in his innocence, is asking Prabhupada, why you give your mercy to me only, why not to others? Srila Prabhupada said, because you take it. There was one Prabhupada disciple, Vishnu Maharaj. And many devotees will come and tell, oh, Prabhupada gives a special mercy to you. Because he was very expert in preaching. Sankirtan, he would do 9 to 10 hours of Harinam and preach. So many current leaders he has preached to. Even Sri Sankarshan Prabhu he has preached to. So then one day in a class he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone says, I give you mercy the most. Why do you give your mercy to me only? Why not others? Please give to others if question was like that. Prabhupada says, because you catch it the most. So That also enhances one's faith, according to my understanding. Few things. How much tightly we are holding on to the instructions, and then how much previously we are also carrying our devotion from previous life. Both matters. We see so many devotees, you tell them one line, it becomes a reality for them. And they start living that based on that one statement, coming from Srila Prabhupada, the great devotee, and for the whole life they don't believe. And some devotees, till the end of their life, they doubt something about the mission. Maybe, what if, I don't know, is it true? I am doing it, but I don't know. How do you know Krishna is this? And you, when you preach, you meet these both categories. An intermediate category also. But this category, it's like for 20 years you are solving the doubts only. And these are not scriptural doubts. These are doubts based on faith. Is it true? Oh, I feel very low. Is Krishna real? Today I feel very high. But like, so many factors are included in it. One's individual practice, one's faith. And that's why these pastimes of these devotees are very hope-giving and they enhance our faith. I'll tell you a story, a quick one. You know, there was a father carrying his son from one building to another, walking on a rope with no support, no balance stick, no support at all. And from one building to another building, he's carrying his son on his shoulder. And the crowd is watching and they are scared, you know, father falls, son also dies basically, he is 22 years old. And father successfully takes child from this building to that building. And then this gymnast, this performer asks the audience, can I go and go back? What do you think? You people, can I again go back, walk from this side to other side of the building? Everyone says, yes, you can do it. With my son on my shoulder, can I walk back? Yes, you can do it. Because they have seen his son already. He has walked from one part of the building to another part. So then this person says, okay, will any one of you come and sit on my shoulder instead of my son and I walk back? No one raised hand. So this is, initially they had a weak belief that yes, he may be able to walk back. But faith means, yes, I will sit on your shoulder and you will take me back. So, our faith on God, on Krishna, Srila Prabhupada's instructions, is many times on a weaker side. Yes, Srila Prabhupada is there. Whatever he is saying is absolutely. But when we see our lives, it's not based on that. When we say, yeah, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is a person. If someone outside comes and tells, is this a person? Or a marble, we'll get offended if it's a marble. So yes, a person from Prabhupada, so we have a relationship with him. But then we see our own life, it's not based on Prabhupada as a person, in many cases, I'm talking about myself. So then how, it's easy to say, but when it comes, when it's time for me to sit on the shoulder and walk the road, it's different. So it's a gradual development of faith. But if someone has lived a previous life and then this particular life is very tightly holding on to, then one can really express it in his action. So, which I feel you do on a very. Okay, anything else to finish? My name is. Question? Question is, how do you become a devotee?
Pick up a devotee.
How do you pick up a devotee?
Yes.
Heavy or lightweight?
Not made by me, he's asking them, kaise pata chalega.
How do you identify a devotee? Whether he is a good devotee, not a devotee, and all that? Is that what your question is? The few ways to know if a person is a devotee or not. First is, he should love prasadam.
So nice.
Now that many people do for love. To identify a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives three stages. One is that if one sees chanting Krishna's names, that there are many people. He says that's the very beginning level of devotee. He has just once even chanted the names of God. Another way to identify devotee is that he is constantly chanting Krishna's name and trying to follow the regulatory principles. Sadhana Bhakti is following whatever Guru has told, is following whatever his devotee parents have told. So it's a good devotee. One can associate, he's initiated. And the third level of devotee, if you want to identify if he's a really good devotee, is as soon as you come in contact with the person, you start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You just in the presence of that person, you want to chant Krishna's name. Automatically you start want to think and talk about Krishna. You don't talk any nonsense in the presence of that devotee. So that three stages, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is how you identify a devotee. So one who is just chanted once or twice Krishna's name, then second is who is following the principles properly, trying to serve Guru and follow the instructions. And the third is Uttama Bhakta. That as soon as you just come in contact with the person, you just only want Krishna and nothing else. Like, okay, I know you haven't heard a single word I said. But
I think even simple is, if you heard someone chanting Hare Krishna mantra, so he is a devotee.
Yeah, that's the very first step.
Starting.
Yeah, first beginning. Okay, thank you. Chandrashekhar Bhagavan ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.